a little soft, but tasty. This is not your typical space food.
DW Deutsche Welle. Spectrum.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Spectrum. My name is Connor Dillon, and I hope you're hungry, because I'm extremely hungry. It's lunchtime here in Germany, and we are at the European Astronaut Center. This is part of the European Space Agency for a special event on space food, and this is not the old powdered, vacuum-sealed space food of the past. This is the new stuff that has been specially developed for the upcoming mission to the International Space Station. This is the Horizons mission that will be commandeered by German astronaut Alexander Gerst, and he is going to be the first German commander of the International Space Station, and that is why they've created some foods specially for him. I am here with one of my DW colleagues, Evan Woodnorth. Evan, can you explain what you've just opened right in front of you there?
Well, we have two different types of very German designed spacesuits for Alexander Gerst. Alexander's from Swabia, Schwabenland. And
they have some special foods down there.
They do. Very kind of hearty, very German dishes, which is kind of what we were hoping for at this event. And so we have a cheese spätzle with bacon. And for those who don't know cheese spätzle, it's kind of this egg noodle type dish, very heavy with cheese and with bacon. It's a very... something you're going to want to take a nap after you eat it. It'll weigh you down, but very good stuff.
Okay, so I'm going to give it a shot here with the cheese spätzle with bacon. And for lack of a better comparison, it tastes like really good macaroni and cheese with some bacon in it. Again, these are being served in tin cans. Maybe the best comparison would be a can of dog food or tuna or cat food that you might see at the grocery store. So they don't look very appetizing from the outside. They have a description in English and Russian. But on the inside, I have to say the food is very, very good. This is actually not what I expected when I came to the space food event today. Okay, I'm standing here with Dr. Ingo Bülow from the LSG group. I found it really interesting that according to the European Space Agency, about 1 year ago, they got notice that their food supplier to the International Space Station, they didn't want to do it anymore. They just weren't going to send the food up to the space station.
Well, it was really interesting to get the request. And of course, everybody was fascinated. So there was not much thinking, well, should we do it or not? It was, well, how can we make it happen? That's pretty much the spirit that was there right from the beginning.
And how did you make it happen?
Well, actually, there wasn't much time. We said there was 1 year, but 1 year was including, you know, getting everything organized and preparing everything for the delivery up to the space station. So, it's a net time, networking and development and production time was about half a year, if at all. We assembled all the information that we had about Alan Food, because we were in contact with ESA a lot of that time. Then we experienced a little bit or got to know what Alexander Gerst's favorites are. So we came together with a menu presentation, pretty much similar to what we're doing with our airline customers, to be quite honest. And then we came here to Cologne and had a menu presentation with him. And he was absolutely thrilled. You know, he was already fearing a little bit with the original supplier dropping out and that, you know, he had to go with something now. But we really made it quite on the point. A lot from his heritage, actually. So a lot of Baden-Württembergische meals, so to speak. There's also Indian butter chicken in there, which he liked a lot from his time that he spent in India.
Did you have to design the packaging differently? Does it have a longer shelf life? Was there were there any unique challenges presented by creating this food to be eaten in space?
In terms of designing the food, yes, there are certain restrictions in terms of nutrition, but you know we are very aware of that. And the most important thing is your body reacts differently in different environments. We already know that from the airline industry, that you know there's a different perception of tastes up in the air.
Is there really? How do people taste things differently up in an airplane?
Well, it's there are a lot of studies around that, and we've also as LSG Group been involved in those studies to understand better how it works. I mean, if you sit in an aircraft and have a meal, maybe sometimes you have the feeling that it's a little bit tasteless compared to what you would eat on the ground, and that actually comes from the high the different pressure air pressure in the cabin, but also, you know, the different humidity level in the cabin, all these things actually have an effect on how you assume or taste the meals. And of course, this is even more intense when you are in space. You know, you even have zero gravity up there. So the entire eating behavior is somehow different, and that all has an effect on how does it actually taste at the end of the day.
So what did you have to change? Did you add more spices? Did you add more seasonings? What did you do?
Well, the trick is really it's complex right to begin with. It's also complex already in the airline environment. But yes, it's a little bit more working with more intense spices. It's roasting a little bit more, for example, so you get a natural added roast aroma, for example, and that is pretty stable. Also, all umami tasters, like if you have soya sauce, for example, that also behaves pretty stable in those conditions.
And what do you say to the people who say, geez, this poor guy, he's gone up to space and all he's going to get is airline food?
Well, he's not getting airline food. He's getting space station food, really customized for him and his needs. And once again, stating he was absolutely thrilled and he was very happy about what he received.
Okay, so we are on dish number 4 at this point. What are we looking at, Evan?
Well, this deviates from the previous 3 in that it is less German, in my opinion. Chicken ragu with mushrooms. I mean, I'm sure they eat that in Germany, but that's not—it's not like a Spätzle. It's not like a very, very German meal. So,
and it looks a bit like an opened can of soup.
Yeah, a little bit. It's definitely not translucent. bad description. No. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to give it a try. It doesn't look very appetizing, but we'll see how it is. Well, it's not bad. It's like a hearty winter meal.
It smells salty.
It is. There's a lot of salt in here, more than I would probably add if I made this by myself. But I don't know. Maybe add some more spices, and you're good to go. There's a lot as far as we're talking about chicken to stock ratio. There's a lot of chicken in here, so good on that end.
That's good. Yeah, I wouldn't complain if I were on the space station eating that. I don't quite understand how there can be all this liquid in there in zero gravity. To be honest, it seems like that would start floating around.
Yeah.
But perhaps the consistency of the liquid, it looks thick enough that it may not disperse in the same way that water would.
So, my name is Guillaume Wertz. I'm the head of the Space Medicine Office, and I'm responsible for the overall health and well-being of the astronauts.
And why are you involved in a discussion about space food? What is your role?
Food is actually an important part of the normal life, and to keep people healthy, we need to make sure that we are bringing enough calories, that we are bringing the right nutrients, that we are also providing them all the vitamins which are needed. And food is also a big component of the social life and well-being. So there is nothing which is more comforting than having a good meal together with the colleagues, and that's really something that we are looking for.
Some of these chefs that are responsible for creating this new food that's going to go up to the International Space Station, they're kind of laughingly joking and saying, yeah, look, you're the reason, you're the one creating all these conditions, telling them what they can and cannot do. What can't they do with the food? What shouldn't they put into the food? What should they put into the food for the astronauts on the International Space Station?
We should better not poison them. No, kidding aside, we have to make sure that they have exactly the right nutrients, the right calories, intake, but there are also things which cannot be done. We have shown that an excess of salt is detrimental for keeping the bone mass and making sure that the astronauts are not losing too much of their bone mass or their calcium mass is extremely important also for their capability to walk again and to rehabilitate in a short time when they are coming back.
So no salt or low salt. Which,
too much salt.
Which must be difficult. I know my colleagues at Deutsche Welle, we always joke that German food is about as salty as it possibly gets. So what do you replace salt with for astronauts?
I'm not myself a chef, but with the right mixture of spices, you can just trigger the right taste, and it's when it comes, it's pretty good.
And beyond salt, are there any other ingredients that the cooks have to watch out for?
Not much, actually. There are, of course, we are making sure that there are not too potent allergens, so not to create any unfavorable conditions for the astronauts or medical conditions. But mostly, that's something which is rather free. Some of them might like something a bit more or less, and here, because we are in the domain of bonus food, we have a certain latitude to adapt that to the taste of the astronauts. So here, that's mostly not made on demand, but at least they are proposed with a choice of different meals, and they can just choose what they prefer from them. So,
do we digest food the same way in space, in zero gravity or microgravity?
We have observed that there is a modification in the flora which exists in the guts. So it's very likely that there are some changes in the way food is digested. But that's just the start now of this domain of experiments.
There's a question I want to ask. I'm trying to formulate it in the right way, and it's basically this. The spectrum of foods here on Earth, you have food that can either constipate you like rice, you have food that can give you diarrhea, something like dates or maybe eating too many cherries. Mm-hmm. Is that something that the chefs have to think about, finding that middle zone for the astronauts?
There are no specific constraints of that. Of course, we try to make sure that there is the right amount of fibers and ballast in the food.
Is it important that the food is chewy? Is it important for us to sit down and chew food and swallow it every day for our psychological well-being?
Just getting the food from pills is not really something that people enjoy too much. So there is really this social and social dimension in eating together and having some food, chewing, swallowing, drinking too. And that's something that we try to maintain as much as possible. So there are many ideas which are running around how we could even produce the food on board instead of just having it brought back from the ground and just being prepared or reinstated on board. But there are still something we are working on, and probably that will only happen for longer duration space flight. For the time being, we are 6 months of there. We can live with the way we are currently doing.
Were there any food suggestions from the chefs at LSG that you said, nope, that's not going to work?
Not that I'm aware of. So, no, they came up with good proposals, and actually nothing was really out of the spec. And when the tasting session came up with Alexander, it went all fine. So, obviously, that they were right on target.
This is a typical meal served to astronauts aboard Apollo space flights. Oatmeal, sausage, toast, applesauce, and in a special zero-gravity pouch, Tang, the energy breakfast drink. Tang, with rich, natural flavor and more vitamin C than orange juice. But Tang's biggest role isn't in NASA's space program. It's right here on Earth.
Okay, so Evan, we are standing before a glass display case here that kind of walks us through the history of eating in space. What kind of jumps out here at me is these freeze-dried, vacuum-sealed, powdered space foods. Now this, to be perfectly honest, this is what I expected when I came here today. It looks like something you would need to add water to in order for it to be edible at all. And that one is, let's see, there's a tag on there that says cornbread
dressing.
Oh, so this you'd put on your cornbread, apparently. There's another one down there that just looks like yellow plastic, and it on top it says macaroni and cheese, again vacuum sealed and not moving at all. Something else that it looks like if you put ice cream into a plastic bag and sucked all the air out of it, and that is called strawberries and cold water. So again, a lot of very unappetizing looking meals in here that astronauts have been forced to eat over the decades. Reinhold, can you first introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, hello. My name is Reinhold Ewald. I'm an ESA astronaut of German nationality. My flight experience spans almost 28 years now. I've been backup for a mission in Russia before. In 1997, I flew myself to the Russian Mir station and worked for 3 weeks on medical experiments, mostly.
And you were on the space station for 19 days, roughly?
That's true, and all the 19 days we had a control regime, what we called metabolic ward in space. That means I was not allowed to eat out of the list. I had to eat it up because all the ingredients of this space food that I was eating had been measured before. I have undergone a couple of pre-launch weeks, similar to what I would do in space, and I repeated it after the landing, so that in effect we could separate the effects of microgravity on my body from the normal life that I would live on board the space station.
So you're telling me that you were the experiment?
I was indeed the guinea pig for this experiment, and I applied a lot of time and a lot of diligence to fulfill the requirements, so that the results were pretty good, and no one could dispute that there was something happening, for example, with my sodium content in the body.
How did space food taste in the 1990s when you were on the Mir space station?
We were already the lucky ones because we had a mixture of U.S.-provided food and Russian food. And I have to say, doing the bachelor's cooking on board of the space station, you tend to minimize the amount of effort that you have to spend into it. And there, the Russian food was clearly a favorite. I mean, I had a mixture, but I saw that my colleagues liked the potluck approach that the Russians did with mixing potatoes and meat and vegetables. All in one can, and when you opened it, you had a full meal rather than having separate things that you had to prepare separately, either diluting it with hot water or cooking it in an electrical stove.
What was your favorite meal?
My favorite meal definitely is desserts, and there were not enough on board to fulfill these needs, like a fruit salad or something.
Oh, fruit salad is a dessert in outer space.
Absolutely, yes. And they had a nice kind of cottage cheese, the Russian cottage cheese. This was still in a roll-up tube that you had to empty into your mouth. So sometimes you develop unexpected favorites in food, and then you try to maximize the consumption of this one.
Can you tell me about what you call the rice experience?
Oh, well, that is a laugh for all the space veterans when the first flyer comes up into the station. And you open a can of, this was a Russian chicken on rice can. You open this can and you are not expecting any difficulties there. To start eating it, and the first rice corn starts floating away from the can. Okay, fine. You grab it with your other hand and try to put it back into the can. But with the other hand, you do an involuntary counter movement to that, which exposes 10 or 20 rice corns into the space, and they are floating away. And then you give up, and you see the laughter of your veteran colleagues who say, well, just let it float. I mean, there's a constant suction of air in the space station, and all this debris coming from uneducated eating then assembles in the filters of the ventilators, and on Saturdays we have a cleaning day, and then it's gone.
Apparently there's a joke that astronauts and cosmonauts like to tell about eating food in space. What is that joke?
Yeah, it's a pun kind of thing between the trainers and the cosmonauts, because at one occasion when an American astronaut, Michael Foe, was training in Star City, he underwent the exam for food, and they are very exact in telling you what food you are not allowed to eat, food that has surpassed its best before date, or food that has been damaged or shows signs of kinks or whatever in the can. And so they are expecting this answer, and Michael Foe, he knew it all, but he wanted to pull a leg on them. So he thought this side, he thought that side, and then he said, you're not allowed to eat the food of the commander, which brought him the highest points. They were humorous enough to accept this answer, and ever since has been a pun So in the exam, you at least try to play that game.
So for the Horizons mission, that would mean you can eat any food you want, but don't touch Alexander Guest's food.
Absolutely. So no fingers in the bonus food container of Alexander Guest.
Okay, Reinhold, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Waitress, 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 what do you have to eat today? We have a rice, baked beans, and turnip greens. That's what we have today. Waitress, 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 what do you have to eat today? We have a rice, baked beans, and turnip greens. That's what we have today.
Evan, if you were going to the space station, what would you request?
Oh, I love pesto and pasta, but maybe like a pie, you know, maybe a good cherry pie or a peach cobbler. What about you, Connor? What would you bring up?
I did see one clip where it appeared that the astronauts on board the ISS were not only eating pizza, but that they had sat down together and made the pizza themselves. And it looked, at least on the video footage we saw, it looked like one of those communal eating experiences that probably caused them to bond and to laugh at what the other people were putting on their pizzas. So I might try to recreate the pizza scene up on the ISS. Okay, so we now have our final two tins here. One of them is called bread pudding with plums. Oh, so we're getting into desserts.
We are. I think there is one more dish we are missing, which is some sort of chicken dish, some Indian butter chicken. I can see if I can grab that later. But yeah, for now we have two dessert-y items. One being bread pudding with plums, and the other being bread crackers.
Which must be an appetizer, not a dessert?
I don't know. We'll have to see if they're sweet or not. They almost look like a fossil, to be honest.
Or a seashell. Really dry. They look really dry.
Exactly, yeah. Very, very thin. Seem to have sunflower seeds on them, it looks like. Mm. Definitely crackers. Really? Not something I would have for dessert.
No, really dry. That should be an appetizer. Okay, and that takes us to the bread pudding with plums. Now, bread pudding is one of my favorite desserts here on planet Earth. The question is whether it will taste the same as I test the space variety. Ooh, hot. Very, very hot. Mm, that is good. That is I really, really like that one. It tastes like bread pudding.
Mm. Yeah, very good. I wonder if that was also a request from Alexander, because I know they also like to eat their tsvetchka, their plums, down in Baden-Württemberg.
Okay, so this bread pudding with plums, that leads me to think about another question, which is basically that plums, if you dry them, become prunes. And I don't eat prunes very much because prunes are known to cause diarrhea. In fact, if you're constipated, you perhaps should eat prunes in order to no longer be constipated, to put it that way. So I'm kind of left wondering, is it such a good idea to have bread pudding with plums in it if you're up in space? Because, let's face it, nobody wants to have diarrhea in space.
Or on Earth. But yes, especially on space.
And you are?
My name is Jörg Hofmann, Director of Culinary Excellence, LG Group.
And just to be clear, you had no experience making space food prior to this experiment?
Not at all. There was nothing.
What was it like sitting down with Alexander Guest? What did he want? What did he not want in terms of the food?
Food needs to be tasty. So this was for him the major thing. How it was to be together with Alexander Guest, I have to say, quite emotional, at least from my side, and I would say as well from all the other project members, because, you know, how many times in your life you have the possibility to talk to an astronaut and, you know, ask questions like, how is a rocket start? So, and he did answer this question. I would describe him as a very, very interesting person.
And just to clarify, Alexander Guest didn't tell you, these are the dishes I want. He gave you kind of a rough outline, or how did that process work?
So basically, we received an email where he basically said he would like to have this and this and this dish. That's what we prepared for him. And we prepared beside that as well, you know, products what he didn't mention. So one of them would be the bread pudding. And in the end of the day, he said, hey, guys, it's quite good and I would like to take it up to the ISS. So most of the products we did was according to the wish of Alexander Guest.
I had a chance to speak with him briefly when it was announced that he was going to be the commander of the International Space Station, and we asked him, which food do you miss most up there? And he said, basically leafy greens, salad, and that when he got back to the Earth, he was just dying for this stuff. Was there any way to incorporate that kind of food into these meals?
Yeah, you know, greens is always a problem. How the you know, should look after a couple of months. But, you know, he mentioned this to us as well. So he said, maybe, guys, you have any time a possibility to look in a new technology to preserve somehow in some, you know, sustainable way salad, then I would be more than happy to take your stuff again up.
A lot of people are tempted to make jokes about the fact that you make food for Lufthansa and that airline food doesn't always have the best reputation. But in fact, you are not just a chef for the airline, and a lot of your colleagues also have a lot of experience outside of this kind of food production.
It's a very difficult question to answer. Yes, we do have expertise in the company. You know, a lot of chefs in the company of LSG Group has Michelin star experience. There are a lot of very, very good chefs. But in the end of the day, the most of the airlines deciding what should fly and what shouldn't fly. And yeah, we try to find together the best possible solution. The environment of airplane, if it comes to kitchen, is very, very low. Means there's just reheating possible. As well, hygiene is a very big issue. So it's tricky, and we try to deliver the best possible food in airplanes to make the most of the customers happy. In the end of the day, and honestly spoken, there in the A380, there are roughly 500 people in there. To make everybody happy, tough. But we will try to do.
So, Evan, how many tins of space food would you say you ate today?
Probably around 3.5.
And how do you feel?
Stuffed. Do not fear. Those astronauts on ISS will have plenty of food in their bellies. At least they will feel full.
So I ate at least 4 of them. I'm uncomfortably full. And actually, when I mentioned to one of the LSG representatives here that I had eaten 4, the look on his face wasn't so much respect as disgust. And so I think we ate more than we were supposed to in the name of science. And the other thing that I kind of want to tie to that is the fact that one journalist here today asked the head of medicine here at the European Space Agency how many calories per day are astronauts supposed to eat up on the International Space Station. Are they supposed to eat more? Are they supposed to eat less than down here on Earth? And his response was that, well, you know, Alexander Gerst, using him as an example, he exercises roughly 2 hours per day, so he's going to need a lot more. And then she doubled down on the question. She said, now, how many calories does he need to eat? Is it 4,000? Is it 5,000? And he said, again, I can't answer that directly, but it's more than that, which I found very surprising. So in that sense, Evan, I think that what you and I did today was actually appropriate, even if people think we're disgusting, because it's what Alexander Gerst is going to be doing in space as well.
It's what he would have wanted, and I think it's a good thing what we've done today.
Okay, well, that's it from the European Astronaut Center here in Cologne, Germany. Thank you for joining us as we went through this kind of taste experiment, eating 7 different foods that are going to be available to the commander of the International Space Station, Alexander Gerst, when he flies up to the space station in June, so just about 2.5 months from now. If you have questions, comments, ideas, suggestions, anything that you'd like to have answered that we didn't answer, we are spectrum@dw.com. And if you're looking for photos of the food or videos of the food or any other information on this food, you can find it on our homepage. That's dw.com/science. You can also find it on Twitter. We're dw_scitech and Facebook dw science. Thanks again to all of you for joining us today, and happy dining.